Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, on this beautiful sunny day in Michigan. We're both doing it from our respective houses, locations, and we are glad to be with you this week in June 2016. But welcome to those of you who are listening to this months from now or even years from now. We're glad that you chose to listen to this episode. But a few quick reminders and kind of the here and now in 2016, I just wanted to say a deep heartfelt thanks to those of you that have started to leave reviews for the Mother and Son book on Amazon and in our store. I think it's around 20 now. And as we've talked about, I mean, that social proof is just huge. And we are so grateful, as we've talked about, and I'm sure many of you, we both belong to kind of Amazon Prime. And when we go, I mean, if a product has zero reviews or three reviews and another one has 300, I mean, I know where I'm heading. And so, you know, we really appreciate you doing that, both Amazon and in our store and other places. And many of you have emailed recently and have been responsive to doing that for some of our other products. It kind of amazes me, even with something like Respectfully Yours, our women's small group study that's been out for a number of years now. And we get back just tons of positive feedback on that from groups that are doing it. But like on Amazon, it has, I don't know, three, four, maybe five, you know, reviews on it. And I think they're 5-star reviews, but some more have been coming. But it's like, it helps when you guys do that. And then if you do it in our, you know, store as well at store.loveandrespect.com, it helps when people arrive, if they can get kind of a user's experience, you know, if you will. So we are grateful for those types of things. And, you know, something like the Love and Respect book has got like, you know, 2,300 reviews on Amazon. So that one, you know, no problem there. But our other resources are valuable to many of you. And we are grateful when you do that. The other announcement sort of, you know, related to that is this is episode 99. And so next time will be episode 100. And we are doing kind of a podcast 100 episode giveaway of 3 gift baskets around a $250 value that have a bunch of unique items and then some repeat items that those of you that win will be able to kind of gift a couple of the books, including the Mother and Son book, and I think the main Love and Respect book, to somebody else, because you'll receive 2 copies of those. So you can sign up for that at loveandrespectpodcast.com, loveandrespectpodcast.com. There'll probably be some announcements on social media, and it's quick. Takes 2 seconds to sign up. However, if you take a few more seconds and leave us a review for the podcast on iTunes and then give us your iTunes name, you'll be entered to win 5 more times. So you can have your name entered to win these gift baskets up to 6 times by doing that. And there's all an explanation right in there in doing that about how to do that. And so it's quick and easy to do. And even those of you who have signed up or done an iTunes review in the past, if you just leave us your iTunes name, it could be your email address or it could be something unique that you've created. So make sure you have the right one. We'll go back and verify that you've done that and enter your name 5 more times, and we'll announce the winners sometime after the 100th episode releases. So you got about a week and a half to do that. And so head on over to loveandrespectpodcast.com and sign up in there. It's a big kind of easy button. You can't miss it right when you arrive there. So again, a couple of quick kind of housekeeping things and an exciting kind of giveaway as we approach 100 episodes, which is hard to believe, but this is episode 99, and we'll jump right into that at this moment. And this episode 99 is titled, Can We Manipulate Each Other with the Love and Respect Teaching? And so I'll turn it over to you now, Dad, about, you know, kind of where this kind of came from and where you want to go with it.
Yeah. Before we do that, I was just thinking of the ways people can win. The other thought, and I hadn't talked to you about this, if they send us $50,000, we will go behind and ensure that they win. And so we will manipulate the whole process. Just kidding. I just think, well, you know, keep escalating this, baby. And I thought, how high do we want to go?
Well, but yeah, I mean, there's joking in that, but I mean, as you brought that up, I think that many people are aware, but others are not. I mean, as we produce 100 episodes of this podcast, there's no, it's all free, right? The blog is all free. There's nothing being kind of produced out of that that is income generating. And whether it's in our app, on the podcast page, or in our store, I mean, we have the give button, right? The donation button. I mean, we are a ministry, it's a nonprofit. And so, you know, we're about the halfway mark of the year, and, you know, through the app, it's pretty easy to give. You can set up repeat giving. And, you know, again, this isn't a, you know, you must do this if you listen, but we are grateful for those of you that do, because it funds, FUNDS, things like this that we do, you know, throughout the year that are our time and energy. And by, you know, helping us do that, we are able to kind of impact kind of a broader range of people. So as you know, I mean, last year we did something where somebody did give $50,000 or a year and a half ago, and we did a matching fund, and we reached our, you know, our goal, you know, of doing that. So again, I wasn't going to, you kind of prompted that by your joke, but again, just a reminder to people that, you know, we are grateful for those of you that hit that donate button and give, whether on the website or the app or on the podcast website.
Yeah, I think, you know, those who are business people out there know that, I mean, we are giving away free, and at a certain point you can't keep giving away free. So we're doing that right now. So what we are planning on doing is putting together packages of information, you know, little series. I'm working right now on a marital kit for couples in crisis, you know, and, you know, hopefully we can then, you know, make those available at a reasonable price that funds what we're doing. Even though we're a nonprofit, I don't really go out and solicit donations. We've tried to provide a service and product, but we're not doing conferences as much. So now we're going to the social media and we're giving away everything free. And people are saying, well, how long can you keep doing this? And so just for those of you in business, understand that we always welcome your input on how we can keep marching forward. But yeah, thanks, Jonathan, for sharing that. But to the question now, can we manipulate each other with love and respect teaching? It's a question that is an important one. And, you know, we know, we who are believers, that God commands in Ephesians 5:33 for me as a husband to love, and we know that the wife is commanded to respect, and we've addressed that. If you are not familiar with this message, then you need to go back and look at some of the other things, because obviously women don't feel comfortable when we talk about respecting a man, but we unpack all of that elsewhere. But when that command to love and respect is given to those of us who are believers, there's a strange twist. A twist might take place. You know, a wife begins to put on respect for only one reason, and that's to motivate, to get her husband to be loving. And a husband puts on love solely at a certain point to get his wife to respect him. And there's nothing wrong with that at one level. We're going to talk about the energizing cycle. His love motivates her respect motivates his love. I believe that. But if the only reason that I'm doing that is to get the other person to love me or respect me, now we're crossing a line. We're moving into something that's subtle, and we may not be aware of it, but I'm doing what I'm doing in order to get you to do toward me what I want you to do toward me. And we're going to unpack that idea, because it can become a form of manipulation. Jonathan, read with that one pastor who wrote me. He shared his concerns, fearing this very thing, that husbands and wives will manipulate each other when applying love and respect based on Ephesians 5:33.
Yeah, this pastor wrote, "I understand that this message will be appealing to non-followers of Christ, but it concerns me when believers are motivated in the flesh to manipulate their spouse to get what they want. I recognize this tendency in my own life and need to keep coming back to the cross to receive his forgiveness. I recognize that I can't unconditionally love my wife apart from Christ, and I must choose to be obedient regardless of my spouse's response. As awesome as this message is, it needs to more clearly lead me back to Jesus. The testimonials that you quote often point to the positive response of the spouse, which is great. However, I would love to hear if and how couples may become closer to God as a result of their obedience. The beauty of your message is that Christ is glorified more through his church when couples are loving and respecting one another. We are excited to continue reading and learning. Thank you again for answering his call to get this word out there."
Mm-hmm. So his concern, you know, is that it moves into manipulation. He said, "It concerns me when believers are motivated in the flesh to manipulate their spouse to get what they want. You know, I'll love you if you respect me. Well, I'll respect you if you love me. And I responded to him, and because I, you know, obviously you may be thinking he was critical of me. He really wasn't. The overall email was very positive, and even this was. He was not being critical only of those who misused it, including himself. He saw that inherent potential. And I was happy to respond to him. Jonathan, read, if you would, what I said to him in part.
Profound. You nailed it. As to your concern, keep watching and keep reading. The rewarded cycle is the reason we are doing the conferences and wrote the book. Look at chapters 23 and 24 and watch session 5 of the video conference. There we go in depth on God's call to a husband and wife to put on love and respect every day, no matter the response. But to your question, yes, this message can be self-serving if one stays on the horizontal. If one only shows love to be respected or only shows respect to be loved, one misses the deepest truth.
Yes. And so the challenge for all of us is to realize that fine line between motivation and manipulation. And, you know, the husband is to be loving toward his wife as a sign of his love for Christ. I mean, I think we all know who are believers. Jesus said, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And Paul, in that Ephesians 5 passage, which deals with marriage, says, as to the Lord, as to the Lord. There's this refrain that we do what we do for the Lord, to please the Lord. We don't do it for men. So he goes from the horizontal to the vertical. And at the end of the day, I'm called to be a loving husband because I love Christ. I think those of us who are believers know that. Yet we don't always pay attention to this. Sam Mosier, a good friend of mine who had been head of Nickelodeon in New York, said, wow, it's about Christ and me. It's not about my wife and me. He said, I've been a believer for years and I never even thought about that. And this is one of the reasons that we are to be loving. It has nothing to do with our wives, gentlemen, because Christ, in effect, is standing beyond the shoulder of our wife. You know, we've got to envision through the eyes of faith that Jesus Christ is standing there. And so if I'm unloving toward her, whether she's lovable or respectful toward me, I mean, ultimately, I'm not showing love and reverence toward Christ. So I do this regardless of who my wife is. That doesn't mean this is easy, as we've said before. It just means that it's true. We're not talking easy. We're talking true. But we're also realizing if I'm unloving and, you know, react, I mean, that just creates a whole set of problems in and of itself. And that's not making things easy. So, I mean, if the idea is it's easy between non-easy, that's foolish. It's just to mean, which way are we going to go when we're frustrated and we're feeling, you know, disrespected? Will we put on that love? And I think the challenge for us is to say, you know, there is coming a day, those of us who are Christ followers, where he said he's going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. And the question is there any connection between my marriage and that well done? And my answer to you, when you look at Ephesians 5, 6, right there, you look at Colossians 3 and 4, these passages go from doctrine to application. And when they apply the doctrine, they do so to husband-wife relationship, father-child, master-slave. And it's there that the Lord is watching. And your marriage matters. So even if your wife does not respond to your love, God still calls you to be loving. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you are that way, it's going to motivate her, unless you're married to a woman who's having an affair or she's just, you know, I mean, she's deranged, she's mentally incapacitated. But every woman I've met responds to authentic love like that. But you don't do it for that purpose solely. And that's the twist that I'm saying, that becomes, and we're going to say, almost kind of like a fourth reason that you're going to be doing this. Does that make sense so far, Jonathan?
It does, and maybe you're going to, you know, get to this. I have a couple of questions as we, you know, move forward, one being some of what you just, you know, talked about. I mean, how does somebody come to a place of self-awareness of, are my motives, you know, pure? Am I doing this in a manipulative sense, or am I doing this in a motivational sense? Or am I doing this in kind of a selfless sense unto Christ, or is there something selfish, you know, about what I'm doing?
Well, that's a good point. I think the major challenge is, and this is, I think, in my own life, I make a decision, this is who I'm going to be, or independent of mom. You know, I mean, I fail, I get angry there, you know, no one is perfect. I tried to walk on water the other day and went under. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not Jesus. And so I give myself some grace, but that, you know, there's a difference between being 90% sinful and 10% sinful, so to speak. But there comes a moment when you say, you know what, I'm going to be a loving person because I want to love Christ. I want to be obedient to Christ. I want to do this unto Christ. I want to bring pleasure to Christ. I want to be rewarded by Christ. I want to be held here well done by Christ. So mom really affords me the opportunity to discover who I am. I don't do this ultimately get her to be who I want her to be. And we're going to show that that's kind of fourth on the totem pole. But yeah, there has to be a decision to be this type of person, independent of the effect on the other individual. And then the irony, though, is that when we're this way, the other person tends to reciprocate. But I don't do it for that reason. And when I, if a wife is disrespectful, for instance, a husband lovingly points that out. He doesn't cease, you know, telling her what he's feeling. But he does it because he cares for her. And she may or may not receive it. She may be suspicious that he wants her, you know, to perform and jump through hoops. But, you know, over time, if you know, I'm saying this because I care, you know, yeah, what you did bothered me, but I, you know, take it or leave it. But we don't become unloving in that discussion. On the other hand, the manipulating husband isn't really interested in obeying God's command to love. Well, he's not interested in meeting his wife's need for love, and he's not interested in receiving Christ's reward. Instead, he has a hidden agenda to get her to show him more respect and to honor his wishes. And given things are not going his way, and this is what really sends women through the roof, he clubs her with a statement, you're being disrespectful. We've read this Love and Respect book, and you're just being disrespectful. The reason that I'm unloving is because you're so disrespectful. You start respecting me, I'll start loving you. And he really just starts clubbing. And this is what just devastates wives. I mean, you get these emails, my husband keeps telling me now I'm disrespectful. Why? Because he's manipulating her. It's pure and simple. You know, and so he should be saying, you came across to me in a disrespectful way. What did I do or say prior to this that felt unloving to you? He needs to be focused on the crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. He needs to say, you know, if she's reacting to me in a disrespectful way, what did I say or do prior to that that felt unloving? That's what the mature man does. The immature man says, look, I'm not being motivated here. It's because you're so disrespectful, woman, and I'm going to withhold love from you until you start showing me some respect in this household. And that's a sign of immaturity. The same thing holds true on the other side. For the wife, God calls her to be respectful toward her husband as a sign of her reverence for Christ. I mean, Ephesians 5:21 says, be subject to one another in the reverence of Christ. It's all about Christ. There's that vertical. And because Jesus, by the eyes of faith, we see him standing beyond the shoulder of the husband. And she does this regardless of her husband's respectability. And again, I always insert, we're not talking about staying in harm's way. My own mom separated for 6 years because of my dad's rage issues. But we're assuming that, you know, violence isn't really going on here. Your husband's just failing to be as loving as he ought to be, and you don't feel a whole lot of respect for him. And so what would motivate you to be a dignified, respectful woman? Getting him to love you and doing everything you can to change him to get him to love you so that you can be motivated to be respectful? Or because you have this deep yearning to reverence Christ and to hear Christ's well done? That's the challenge. And I will say, if he's unloving, you need to respectfully point that out. But you do this to serve him, not to shame him. On the other hand, the manipulating wife isn't thinking about following God's revelation. She suppresses the idea of meeting the need of her husband to be respected for who he is in the image of God apart from his inadequacies. In other words, showing positive regard toward his spirit while you're confronting those things that he did that are inadequate. It's that positive regard toward his spirit. And she ignored the vertical, being rewarded by Christ for reverencing him. Instead, she has a secret goal to get her husband to be loving and to prove his love by going along with what she deems best. And many wives tell me that, you know, they don't try to control, and yet she's really only happy if he kind of does it her way because she's absolutely convinced her way is the right way. And if he differs with her, then he's unloving. And so she manipulates him. So what's the warning here? Jonathan, would you read what I maybe expressed here as the warning?
Each person must exercise discernment, especially at first when applying the message of love and respect. This can work so quickly and powerfully that one takes his or her eye off the ball. A wife respects her husband, who in turn responds lovingly. She keeps doing this until one day, to her shock and chagrin, She puts on respect, but her husband reacts to her respect in a very unloving and harsh way. For example, she respectfully says, "I'd like for us to go to my mother's home this weekend." He reacts, "No, that's my first golf tournament. You knew that." Hurt and then infuriated, she yells, "I forgot, okay? But I can't believe how you lopped off my head. I have been respectful for weeks, and what do I end up getting? Your anger and harshness. When I am respectful, you are supposed to be loving." He retorts, "Well, I shouldn't have reacted that way, but what you're saying to me is that you only show me respect to get me to make you feel loved. This is all about me jumping through your hoops to make you feel loved, when I thought you were respecting me just because you respected me. This isn't about me. This is about you."
Yeah. That's right. That's right. We'll continue. Or a husband.
Or a husband loves his wife, who in turn responds respectfully. He keeps doing this until one day, to his dismay, he puts on love, but his wife reacts to his love in a very disrespectful and rude way. For example, he lovingly says, "I think I will plant shrubs and flowers along the side of the house this Saturday. I will use our house fund money. I think you will really like the look." She comes uncorked. "No, you and I agreed that those funds would be applied to new appliances for the kitchen. This is what you do. On a whim, you get a harebrained idea and barge forward. Besides, I don't want flowers and shrubs there, but new grass." Frustrated and offended, he snaps back, "That's a fine how do you do. Here I am thinking of you, trying to be loving and considerate, and you use me for target practice. Though we are reading the Love and Respect book, it doesn't work with you. You are supposed to respect me when I love you. No matter how hard I try to love you, you end up dissing me for one thing or another." She counters, "So the minute I disagree with you, you tell me I'm disrespectful? Well, that's a fine how do you do back at you. You only love me so I will drool with respect like Pavlov's dog who drooled when he rang a bell."
I entertain myself sometimes.
Well, frankly, I think, yeah, you use humor in yours. Frankly, I think it's often nastier than that.
Well, yeah, that's true. It is. We do get nasty. And those of you listening, we need to, you know, when we let our hair down, and we do, we come at each other much more. And we're not, I'm laughing not because it's really funny, but if we don't lighten up a little bit, we're all going to get too nervous, and it just compounds it. So we need to lighten up. We're all guilty. All of us raise our hand and say, "Guilty as charged." There's a fine line between motivation and manipulation. And it's okay to seek to influence, to energize, to persuade, and to sway. You know, we want our spouse to be loving and respectful. We want them to change. I mean, stimulate one another to love and good deeds, Hebrews says. And we're to encourage one another. So there's a vital role that we have. But again, it comes down, where in the totem pole is this in terms of my motivation? Is this number one, I'm going to do what I'm doing to change them so that I can be happy? If I'm doing what I'm doing in order for me to be happy, and I've got to change them so that they'll make me happy, then it's a self-focused issue. And that's okay to a certain point, but if that's the whole reason that I'm doing what I'm doing, this is going to blow up in your face in the same way that if they're doing that toward you. It's the golden rule. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of thought to think, if my spouse is doing toward me what I'm doing toward them, at what point when I discover that, am I going to rejoice in that or be a bit miffed? I mean, common sense says treat other people in the way that you want them to treat you. And so figuring this out along that line is not a difficult thing to do. So there are several things here that I want us to think about. Because as I said again, the energizing cycle says his love motivates her respect and her respect motivates his love. That works. But it only works if you really do that in order to meet the other person's need as an in and itself. It's kind of like this is the result. If you're truly authentic, there's an altruistic attitude. I'm doing this to meet her need for love, period. Well, usually if you do that, it's going to motivate her then to lighten up a little bit and be more honoring and respectful. It just happens. But you don't do it for that reason. But it is a consequence of doing it for the deeper altruistic reason. And none of us are going to be purely altruistic. I mean, if we somehow think, oh man, I can never be truly altruistic. Well, I agree. You know, I mean, it's been said, why did the mother run into the house and save her child from the burning fire? And people say, that's a true act of altruism. You could tear it apart. No, she knows she couldn't live with herself if she didn't. I mean, so we can assess all of ourselves to realize there's a dark side in us. But what we want to do is contain that dark side, and we want to act more nobly and do the right and righteous thing. And Jonathan, I want you to read these three reasons that we should put on love and respect toward our spouse. Number one,
we intend to obey God's command in Ephesians 5:33, even if our spouse does not obey or respond.
those of us who are Christ followers, again, we know that command. I mean, God, as I've said before, God commands me to love Sarah. And when I stand before him, he's going to say, did you love Sarah? I said, well, you know her family of origin stuff, Lord. You know the things that woman has said. Whoa, Emerson, was this my command to you? Yes, sir. Did you do this out of trust and obedience to me? Sarah's irrelevant. This is my command to you. She has nothing to do with this. I remember the day that I realized that, I went, whoa. I mean, that's really true. It's not that Sarah's irrelevant as a human being, but she's irrelevant insofar as my obedience. So I'm to be a loving man in obedience to the command. I mean, where do you go to get off that hook? I mean, you can't, and nor should we want to, because when we do this, then we're going to touch the heart of God. But what's number two? What would be another reason?
Number two, we are loving and reverencing Jesus Christ beyond the shoulder of our spouse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, your spouse affords you the opportunity to touch the heart of Christ. Have you ever seen that? Even at those moments of intense frustration. And again, you know, I'll probably get into a doozy of fight with mom today because I'm espousing these things, and the Lord will just point out to me again how hypocritical I am. But I've learned to just seek his forgiveness and get up and try again. I don't quit. I don't let my defeats defeat me because I've caught this deeper vision. I'm called to be obedient. I'm called to do this unto Christ who's beyond mom's shoulder, and I just have to keep revisiting that. What's the third reason on this totem pole?
Our deepest longing is to hear, well done, and receive Christ's reward.
Mm-hmm. There it is. And that's why I said then, you know, motivating your spouse to be loving and respectful is really fourth. The first thing is we're going to do this because God commands me to do it. And when he commands me, he is saying, in effect, don't hurt yourself. You know, when he says, don't be unloving or disrespectful, we might say, in effect, he's saying, as that old country preacher said, when the Lord says no, he's saying, don't hurt yourself. I always remember when I heard that. That's powerful. And then, are you seeing Christ beyond the shoulder of your spouse, and do you really see that you're going to die? I mean, my sister says life is hard and then you die, but we are going to die and then we're going to sin. Those of us who really believe this, and the Lord is going to look at us and he's been watching your marriage. Do you really see that what you're doing counts toward your spouse, even if they're unresponsive toward you? So even if they're not motivated, why manipulate them to change when this affords you the opportunity to demonstrate you're a loving, respectful soul that's going to hear well done? You know, instead of getting all mad and just, you know, go crazy because they're not being who you want them to be, rather than seeing this as an opportunity for you to show Christ who you are. Don't let that moment pass by.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would just add, I mean, this is kind of coming in from a certain angle, you know, on this topic, but, you know, the first four or five podcast episodes, people can get kind of further explanation of the crazy cycle, the energizing cycle, and the rewarded cycle, those first four or five, you know, episodes, and then the Love and Respect book, the DVDs, I mean, all they go, you know, much deeper, you know, into these, you know, specific, you know, topics, and then, you know, even kind of the application in a furthered way in the kind of the second book, The Language of Love and Respect. And so there is, you know, a lot of in-depth kind of material you hear about this, and you came at it today from the approach of, you know, can we manipulate each other, you know, with this based on this pastor's, you know, question. And, you know, it sounds like the answer is, you know, is yes. And as you said, you know, our spouse is, you know, kind of irrelevant, that type of thing. I mean, I think you're, you know, also pointing out, look, I mean, our spouse can certainly make this obedience, I think, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, easier or more difficult, right? I mean, if our spouse was always, you know, loving and, you know, respectful, right? I mean, this obedience and kind of doing this unto, you know, Christ, it seems easy. And yet, do we actually, you know, if it's that easy, are we, you know, actually doing anything that's, you know, that's transformative? I don't know. What are your comments on that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that's the point. I mean, this is why, you know, it's a tongue-in-cheek statement, but it's true. I mean, when Sarah is respectful, it's so easy for me to be obedient to love her. Well, duh. And so what happens is then I can then subtly say, you know, honey, because you're disrespectful, you're making it impossible for me to obey God. Talk about ultimate manipulation. And that's one of the points we make. Obviously, if my spouse is loving and respectful toward me, it's easy for me to reciprocate, being on the receiving end of that. And that's what happens when we start applying the love and respect message. It's so powerful. But then we take off guard. It's been said in war, and this is an odd statement, but military men said when you, let's say you parachute a whole group of soldiers in, it's almost important that there's some serious casualties. As painful as that statement is and as cruel as it sounds, they say because if they all parachute in and they're safe, they let down their guard, and the subsequent casualties in the next battle are like exponentially more. You end up losing more soldiers. There needs to be this realization, we're in a battle and this is serious and it's going to start the minute you hit the ground. And when you start applying the love and respect thing and you see your spouse responding so positively, you take your eye off the ball, as we said earlier on, and now you're doing it in order to get them to change rather than realizing I'm doing this because this is who I'm going to be independent of them. I'm doing this to meet a need in their life, whether they appreciate it or not. I'm doing it unto Jesus Christ, and I'm doing it to hear well done, good and faithful servant, because I'm going to obey the command to do it. And I'm just going to commit to do this until I die or my spouse kills me. But there is this commitment, and we're in a battle, so to speak. But the beautiful thing is, if we really commit to be that person, you got to be married to one bad dude or dudess for them not to respond or reciprocate. So we got to have the confidence that the consequence, the fruit of this decision will in fact positively affect their hearts. But that's fourth on the totem pole, as we might say.
And I might add to that, I mean, is 3 weeks, right, the timeline when one says, okay, they haven't responded, so they are a bad dude or dudess.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And that's why it's not for, I mean, it, again, there's the history. If you've committed adultery for 10 years and now you've changed and so you love your wife for 3 weeks and she's a little distrustful, come on. You've undermined trust in relationship, and she doesn't have enough confidence that you've transformed. I mean, you've got to know the backstory on that.
Sure.
But so, yeah, I mean, we've got to be honest about this. But again, here's the deal. Why are you doing it? Are you going to give up after 3 weeks because it's not working with you? People have said to me, they've written or told their spouses, no, this doesn't work with you. Well, why are you doing it toward them? This is why we talk here today. You can't do this in order to get your spouse to change any more than they should do it toward you to get you to change. You would be up in arms if you sensed that their motivation was to change you so that they could be now happy. And that's the only reason that they're responding, because you know it's going to be short-lived then. The minute you don't jump through the hoop that they want you to jump through, then they're going to come uncorked and be very unloving and disrespectful, very hostile and contemptuous toward you. And so again, the person of maturity says, you know what? Fair is fair. I'm going to operate by the golden rule, and this is the way I'm going to live, and we'll see what happens. But you've got to have enough confidence that God's not going to command you to do this, only to pull the rug out from underneath you and say, oh, it's not going to work horizontally. Mm-hmm. In all probability, it will.
I'll read these kind of just four questions that people can ponder, you know, quickly. And then if you have any concluding comments, you can go ahead and share. So number one, being honest with yourself, do you believe you've ever showed love or respect to your spouse in an effort to manipulate them to return the favor? If so, explain why you are not truly loving or respecting them as God commands. Mm. Number two, on the other hand, have you ever felt you were being manipulated by a loving or respectful, quote unquote, spouse in order to return the favor? How did that make you feel? Did you share that with him or her? Do you need to do so now? Number three, what does the fine line look like to you between motivation and manipulation? And number four, when we think of Christ's reward, we typically imagine it coming beyond this life, long after your current decision to love or respect your spouse as God commands. But how does envisioning Christ standing just beyond the shoulder of your spouse help to reward you internally now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was kind of the challenge. I said, I spoke at Saddleback Church in Southern California. I guess there were about 25,000 people at their 9 campuses and 15,000 online. So, and I ended the message. It was the two key ingredients for successful marriages. And again, this idea of, do we really believe that we're doing this unto Christ, that we're touching the heart of Christ, that we're going to hear well done, good and faithful servant? That's got to be the deepest incentive. And I remember a gal years ago coming to our conference who had had multiple degrees from Harvard. And we end our conference with a rewarded cycle. We start with the crazy cycle, then we go to the energizing cycle, and then we talk about the rewarded cycle, doing this unto Jesus Christ to hear well done, to be rewarded by him. And, you know, I was talking about sociologically how to get off the crazy cycle, sociologically how to motivate the other person. And she said to me, had you started with the rewarded cycle and addressed the crazy cycle and the energizing cycle, I would have listened to you totally different. That the key for me now, I realized, to get off that crazy cycle is I'm going to stop being a disrespectful wife because of Christ. And I'm going to try to do the energizing thing because of Christ. Whether my spouse, you know, stops their craziness or is motivated by what I'm doing, I'm going to do it because of Christ. Hmm.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this week. As always, again, as I indicated at the beginning, thank you for the reviews. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for what you do. And we always enjoy the emails that we get, podcast at loveandrespect.com. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.